have your Bibles this morning, you'll notice as you look in this passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a soldier. You'll notice in verse 1, a centurion. He's in charge of 100 men. So he's a man of position. He is a Roman soldier, so he's a man got a great deal of respect. He's a man's man. I mean, he is looked up to by people in the world in his day and age. He's an accomplished man. But I want you to notice there's something about him that makes him, that made him wonderful as a father. And I want you to understand this today. A lot of times we sort of make it out that in order to be a good father, you have to be a Christian. There are a lot of good fathers that are not saved. But you can't be a great father because you can't lead your children to heaven. You can't lead your family to heaven. And that's the only way you can be a great father. And I want you to notice Cornelius is unsaved. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, a devout man. One that was religious. One that feared God. One that knew there was a God, but didn't know who he was. There are lots of fathers like this. More fathers like this than do know Christ. You'll notice it says, and one that feared God with all of his house. So somehow this unsaved man taught his family, his wife and his children, that there was a God in heaven. He didn't know who he was, but he was real. And the whole family said, we understand, we agree. Somehow he got his fear and respect and religious picture of God into the heart of his family. His whole house. Now, I want you to look this morning a little bit about that, the way that's done. But you'll notice number 2, it says there on here, which gave much alms to the people. He thought that the way you got to heaven was giving a lot. He was a perfectly normal person today. If I don't give in the offering, I'm probably not going to go to heaven. If I don't, if I want to give, get somebody out of purgatory, which there is no purgatory, there are churches that say, well, you've got to put money in the offering plate. You've got to light candles. No different than this. Only he's just listening to what he hears. Like a lot of people. If you do good, you'll get to heaven. If you give money, a part of that is doing good, is giving money. You'll notice he says he gave much alms. He really wanted to do well. And so, do you understand today that we are so blessed in this room and on live stream because we do have the truth? Cornelius did not have the truth. He knew there was a God in heaven. And so I guess the first question I could ask for you, are you sure there's a God in heaven? Do you realize there is one in heaven? Do you realize his name is Jesus Christ? Do you realize his Father is there that knows everyone in this room? Do you realize that God in heaven is one that put the stars and the sun and the moon in its place? You must know that. It must be definite in your heart that that God is real. That was number one to him. He knew there was a God in heaven. So what he did was he gave to him the only way he could. He respected him. But then you'll notice he does one other thing. And he prayed to God always. So I want you to see, there's just, I'll give you 3 or 4 things that fathers today we ought to do if we're going to reach our families. And if we're going to please the Lord. Number one, you got to be definite about salvation. Now here's the man that's definite about salvation but doesn't have it. And his family doesn't have it. And he knows it. Do you know that your family is saved? Do you know all your children are saved? If not, there ought to be on a daily prayer list, even 2 or 3 times a day, Lord, would you save my son? Would you save my daughter? If they're 40, 50 years old, it ought to be one of the greatest burdens in your heart. Lord, save my son. Lord, save my daughter. If your wife is unsaved, Lord, save my wife. Do you understand you could give them, you could, I guess the Amazon owner, Jeff Bezos, you could own, be the richest man in the world and have trillions of dollars, but you cannot buy one square foot of heaven for yourself or your family. So you understand we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. This man knew he was a sinner. He was definite that he wanted to be saved, but he didn't know how. Look at your Bible in Acts chapter number 11. Look what happened. We know what he was praying because of the answer of the angel. You'll notice here's Peter explaining, and he said in verse number 13, this is Acts 11, 13, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, speaking of Cornelius, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Peter, Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house should be saved. So they were unsaved, but he wanted to be saved himself, and he wanted his family to be saved. Every great father, that's his number one goal in life. So if you're a teenager today, you want to marry someone that knows Christ as Savior, and that's their number one goal, is that everyone's saved in the home. You'll notice, if you would, in this passage, he said, look, I understand you're lost. And he had no one to tell him. There was no one that knocked on his door. That's the reason we have a visitation program. We had one. We'll start it back up as soon as this settled down a little bit. But there's a reason for that. It's not because we need some activity to do. There are people that are lost that if we've had people by the dozens that come to church, we left a track on their door and their heart was stirred because of something going on in their life. And they said, I'll just go to that church. We've had people drop by here because their heart was stirred. There's something missing in their heart and they know it. Cornelius had something missing in his heart and he knew what it was. It was the presence of the Lord in his life. It was salvation. And he was definite that he wanted it, but it was definite he didn't have it. So he's praying. Now watch. Look in verse number, Acts chapter 10 now. Look back over in verse number 4. And when he looked on him, this is the angel, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, this is Cornelius speaking to the angel, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. You know, he said, your request, God heard. He even saw the diligence that you put into it by giving a lot of money. It doesn't count, but the effort you put in got God's attention. And what I want you to understand today is that every one of us in this room, all the men in this room, and the one on live stream, the effort you put into trying to see your family saved, God sees. And he says, I'll answer that. This man's unsaved, but he wants to be saved and he wants his family saved. He's got a guilt in his heart. He's got sin in his life. He knows he has no chance for heaven, but he's doing everything in his power to try to get there. Folks, there are billions of people just like that. That's the reason the missions program is important. We don't have a missions program just so we can feel like we give to charitable contributions. There are souls that hang in the balance, just like Cornelius. You can spend all your money however you want to. But I want you to understand something. Unless you invest in the things of the Lord, when you step foot inside heaven, you wasted your money. And so it's not about money. It's not about us getting money. You know, just pause for a minute. I hate money. Now, let me back up. I like what it provides. But I hate what it does to people. Hate what it did to my family when I was growing up. So I learned to be careful of money, treasure money, but don't do your best to love money. Use it as a tool. As a tool to tell people about how to get to heaven. Missions. Use it as a tool to be a blessing to your family. The Lord doesn't need our money. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I was on vacation this week in Texas and got to stay. First time in my life, I got to stay in a big ranch with a Christian gentleman. that very wealthy, very, very wealthy. And we were standing in his church lobby, and he's in jeans and coat and Texas attire pretty well, cowboy boots. And it was church Sunday morning, and someone walked up to him and said, "Brother so-and-so, how much land do you really own?" And I don't, you're just out of the clear blue. And he, very humble guy, says, as far as you can see. How many acres? Thousands. And I drove up to his house, and he has a little quarters there for preachers and missionaries to stay. Nicest place I've ever been in my life. He said, "Oh, we're so grateful you're here." Like, wow. You see, money doesn't mean a lot to him. So God trusted him with it. He has a bus route with a lot of little children on his bus route. When they grow up, he knows they don't have a lot much in the area where he was. And so he said, "Hey, I want you to be able to go to college. You like to go to college?" "I'd like to go to college." Well, said, I'll pay for it. So he's paid full ride for four of his bus kids go to college. You see, this man, Cornelius, was just like that. Oh, money's okay, but the Lord didn't need my money. The Lord needs a heart. But in his mind, I'm trying to buy heaven. Folks, none of us in this room have to worry about that anymore. The debt's been paid. The question is, are you sure that you've trusted Christ to save you? First John chapter 5, verse 13. "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." The first thing about being any great father is that you are definite about salvation. It's settled. It's done with. You know when it happened. You may not remember the date, but you know it's happened. You know there's a time when you were born into God's family. You were the woman at the well. She came and she said, "Come meet the man who told me all things ever I did. Isn't this the Christ?" She knew when she got saved. The thief on the cross, he knew when he got saved. There's not a point in time where you can say, "I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure." You don't want to be like this. Praying, "Lord, help me. I want to make sure. Get it settled today, so that you can look at your children and say, I know I'm going to heaven and I want you to go with me. Not because I'm a good person, but because Jesus Christ was good for me. For God hath made him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So because of the righteousness of Christ, I'm going to heaven." I could tell that to my son and to my grandchildren. You must be definite that you know Christ as Savior, or you cannot take people to heaven with you. Here's a man that definitely knows he's not saved, but he definitely wants to be saved. So you know what? Anybody can get on their knees and say, "Lord, I need to know you," and God will hear. Today, are you definite that you're on your way to heaven? Are you definite that everybody in your family is going to heaven? If not, make that the number one goal of your life. Definitely, you want salvation in your life and in your family. Because, see, that settles the future. Now the question is, what are you going to do with your life? Now you'll notice, number two, there's a determination in his plan, in his purpose. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number four, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up from a memorial before God." And God has heard your determination. God has heard you pray over and over again. This is not just one day. This is daily. Notice, if you would, in verse number 23, look at Acts 10, verse 23. Notice, if you would, verse 27. "And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many were come together." So Peter goes into Cornelius' house and he finds there's all kinds of people there now. They've all kind of gotten together. It's all of his house and his friends. I mean, he said, "They're coming to tell us how to get to heaven. You got to come and hear the story." And so they were all there. He said he got all of his friends together. Notice the wording in verse 27. And we found many that were come together. And you'll notice over in Acts 11, verse 4, we read it before, 14. He said, whereby shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So he had everybody there. Do you understand that he was a man that had such a determination about spiritual things that his family said, we want that. Even though he didn't know the Lord as Savior yet. But it was like he's going in a direction and I like it. And his children said, Dad's going someplace and I like it. Do you have a determination in your spiritual direction? If you do, it will affect the way you live. If you have your Bible, turn over to Numbers chapter 13. I want you to see this. Numbers 13. There's three fathers we're going to look at today. Cornelius is number one. But I want you to see, number two is Joshua. And I want you to see Joshua. Notice with me, if you would. This is Numbers chapter 12. Or chapter 13, I'm sorry. And you'll notice in verse 16, just going to read this just to sort of set the stage. These are the names of the men which Moses sent out to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. So Joshua is one of the men, one of the spies. There's 12 of them. Caleb is another. Now, notice with me if you would, Moses says in verse 20, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring up the fruit of the land. Now, then you'll notice, if you would, they said, okay, they come back, they bring fruit. You've read the scriptures where they bring a cluster of grapes hanging on a pole between two men because the land is so fruitful. And they come in, but they saw the giants in the land. Now, you got to understand that Joshua and Caleb had made up their minds. Look, we're determined. We want this land. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1 of chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. So a million people began to weep and pray. A million people, but not two. Joshua and Caleb. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Everybody but two men. Now, Cornelius was that type of father. He said, I don't care what everybody else at Rome does. They're going to worship all these various gods. But I want to worship the God that put the stars there. And so he prayed to that God, even not knowing his name. And God said, I heard it. And so you and I in this room, we give to Missions and Faith Promise to send a missionary to tell that guy in Papua New Guinea or in Fiji or in Nepal or in the Amazon River Basin or above the Arctic Circle that God loves you and to send him where he can go and that man is praying. So you and I never know the answer to prayer that our giving is. But it's not just money. It's would you encourage your children to go? Would you be honored if your children went to Nepal? Would you rather them do that than have a career in business? Now, God calls all of us to do the thing that he has planned for us. And you and I, and none is more important than another. Preachers are not more important than godly businessmen that reach their people for Christ. We all have a role to play according to the plan of God. So everybody in this room, if you're in the will of God, then God has a purpose for you and a plan for you. The question is, are you determined in that plan and direction so that your children say, wow, I'd like to be like that. Wow, I'd like to love God like Dad does. Because that's what happened with Cornelius. Now, you'll notice the determination of Joshua's life. Notice, if you would, in verse number, we just read about Numbers chapter 14, where it said the whole congregation says, wish we'd have died in the wilderness in Egypt. Well, notice if you would in verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. One to another, Joshua and Caleb. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. In verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephthah, which were with them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. There's two men talking here. It's the man Joshua and it's the man Caleb. They had to wait 40 years to go into that land. But they were determined to get to the land that God had for them. They were determined that their families were going to have the blessings of God on their life. Cornelius was the same way. Notice what he says here in verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, that's the direction that every man's got to have. Every father's got to have. You're definite about salvation, but you're determined in your spiritual direction. He wasn't going to let a million people change his mind. Joshua wasn't. He said, if the Lord delights in us, we're okay. He makes a difference. Do you understand today, everybody in this room, do your children understand that if the Lord delights in you and your walk with the Lord, He's going to bless you and that's all you need? Do you understand you don't need a degree from Harvard to get a good job? The Lord can provide it. But we try to do all these different things to get our children in position of success, but you can't fix the heart. You better reach the heart first so that your children can take whatever tools God has given to them and use it for His glory. Cornelius had reached the heart of his children. Have you reached the heart of your children? Let that be prayer number two. Lord, save my family. Number two, Lord, help them to follow me as I serve you. Joshua, notice if you would, in verse number 9, he says, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear that ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. They got no chance. Why? Their defense is departed from them. No, it hadn't. But Joshua said, it is. Why? And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. He said, they've got no defenses because God is with us. Do you understand today that Cornelius had the same mindset, the same determination that as long as the Lord is with me, as long as I'm doing what is right, as long as I'm walking with the Lord and God is with me, then the world is at my feet and no one can stop me from doing the will of God. We've got to teach our children that. It gives them hope. It gives them strength. It gives them courage, just like Joshua had. And so you'll notice Joshua 24:13. He says, I don't know what choice you guys are going to make, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's the determination. After 40 years, he makes that statement. Where are the men and the women and the young people that make that statement? I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but I've chosen in my heart to serve the Lord. I've chosen in my heart to do what's right. I want the blessing of God in my heart. Your husband doesn't have to do what's right for you to do what's right. Your wife doesn't have to do what's right for you to do what's right. You know what I figured out? Your own dad doesn't have to do what's right for you to do what's right. No one can stop you from serving the Lord. Only you. It's between you and the Lord. But God is looking for some men, some fathers, some mothers, some older teenagers that say, I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but as for me, I'm going to follow Him. They need to be determined in their direction. And I see that in Cornelius. Did you know the Bible doesn't say how long he prayed? We don't know if Cornelius prayed a month or a year or 2 or 3 years. But if you take your Bible and turn back, I want you to notice something. You'll notice in verse 21, Acts 10, 21. Arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So in other words, you know, you've got the Spirit speaking unto Peter in verse 19 saying, I have sent them to you. And then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he who you seek. What is the cause, therefore, that you are come? Now listen, he's got a centurion he's got a soldier that's very trusted. He's got some men, there's five or six men that have represented Cornelius that have come in his place. They don't have to brag on Cornelius. But notice what they say in verse 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man. He is fair. He always tries to do the right thing. And he's unsaved. Well, if he's doing it for the wrong reason, now he's doing it to get the eye of God. We do it to please our God. There's a difference. One is easier. One is done out of fear. We don't serve the Lord out of fear. We serve the Lord out of joy and love, if we're right. And Cornelius is serving out of fear. He's trying to get God's attention. He doesn't want to die and go to hell. But notice the testimony that this man has. A just man, one that feareth God. These are the men that he sent testifying about him. And of good report among all the nation of the Jews. Hey, he's got a great testimony among everybody in the Jewish nation. Now keep in mind, he's a Roman centurion. So he said, but he's got a great testimony among all the Jewish nation. He's fair. He's not one of those centurions that walks around and says, hey, pick up my bag and carry it for a mile. He's a centurion that is compassionate, that does his job well, that pleases his country, the Rome, but he also is good to people. So he says, he's a just man, one that feareth God and of good report of all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Now, notice the words, warned of God. I'm wondering, was it his one and only chance? I'm going to send you one warning. I'm going to say this one time. Do you know how many times a man is promised to hear the gospel? Or a man is promised the gospel? Only once. Do you understand today that no one has promised it twice? So if you're here today and you've heard the gospel, I'm giving you a warning. Peter, give him a warning. I'm not coming back. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, but it doesn't say twice. So God sends Cornelius a warning. So God did love Cornelius, for God so loved the world, but he sent him a warning to say, look, I'm going to send you this Peter. He's going to come and tell you all the words that you need to hear, but you've got to listen. And so you understand the testimony that Cornelius had among all the nations, and yet he's still lost. What kind of a testimony can we have if we have the Spirit of God living in our hearts? We have no excuse for not being honest and truthful and loving and forgiving and compassionate. We have the Spirit of God in our heart. We have no excuse for not being great fathers in this room. Because God says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit when you get saved to help you do the right thing. All of us. So you can treat your wife right. You can treat her with love and respect. You can treat your children right. You can say like Joshua, come follow me as I follow Christ. You can do that. The question is, will we? Are we going to be like Cornelius? Do we have the testimony? Now, you know, if you take children in a school classroom and you say, we've done this before. Let's vote on the young person with the greatest of character, or the young person that really wants to do what's right. And, you know, it's almost always unanimous or close. I mean, there may be two or three kids that each get votes, but the kids know who wants to do what's right. It's obvious. And you know this? People around here know. And especially your wife knows. And especially your children know. And therein lies the reason why there's not a lot of families like Cornelius's family. That when the gospel is presented, they're all there. They all say, we want that. Because they saw their dad and his determination to find the gospel for him and his family. Are you determined in your spiritual plan? I mean, coming to church faithfully, you're here. I'm preaching to the choir. But are you regularly here? You'll notice, if you would, in this passage, look at Acts chapter 2, chapter 10, verse number 2. He said, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He was determined. He was steady to pray. Lord, I need the gospel. Lord, I need whatever you've got. I need to know who you are. Lord, I want to please you. God, I don't know who you are, but I want to please you. So he had a determination in his plan. I'm going to find the Lord for my family. And folks, finding the Lord is not hard. Anybody can do it. Here's proof. The thief on the cross found the Lord. That's proof. He's receiving capital punishment. It's like being in the electric chair and finding the Lord. That's what happened to the thief on the cross. So there's a determination that every father must have. But I want you to notice lastly, there's a dedication that we ought to have. And the dedication is what allows us to continually do the right things. The dedication that you and I have to our plan. Now, we have to be determined, but there's a warmth. Dedication has got a love to it. I want to be dedicated to my family. Yeah, I want to provide for my children, but I want to provide more than just beans and cornbread and food and a place to sleep and a bedroom. I want to be dedicated to them. I want them to know I love them and I'm praying for them. I want them to know, I want my wife to know I'm trying to do more than provide a house to stay. I want to know I'm dedicated to her and to her future. I'm dedicated to this plan of God. And I want us to follow it together. Take your Bible and turn to Job chapter number 1. Job. We'll look at the third and final great father. Notice, if you would, Job chapter 1. You'll notice in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright. He was spiritually mature, complete, upright. There was nothing between he and the Lord. It's the Hebrew word for perpendicular. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. He feared the Lord. You see the same exact wording about Cornelius. He feared the Lord. There was a spiritual respect for God. Now, folks, today, every man in this room ought to have a spiritual respect for God. And your dedication to God allows your heart to be opened up for your children to see your dedication. The determination is easy. You get up every morning and go to work. There you're determined to get your paycheck. But dedication is a lot more difficult because that's where your heart is. That's where your love is. And so they may see that you make money and you faithfully go to work. But the dedication is something you get to do. You enjoy what you're doing and your children see your love for it and say, that's what I want to do that. They get a sense of love and joy out of what you're doing. And they want to incorporate a lot of that in their lives. Dedication to your family is required to raise a great home. It is this determination for a direction, but it's the soft side. It's the side that sits down and says, hey, son, hey, honey, come over here. Let's talk about what school you got tomorrow. Let's talk about some of your friends. You have anybody I can pray for with you? Is there anybody at school that you really respect? What kind of things cause you to respect them? Is there anybody at school that you don't respect? Why? a dedication to take your spiritual plan and inculcate it and place it into the heart of your children or your wife. We don't do that. You can't take your children and put them in a Christian school and show your dedication. You can show your determination because you pay the bills all the time. But dedication involves the heart. Watch this. Look, if you would. Now, you saw Job here. He's the richest man of the East. You'll notice in verse number 3, very last part, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He's the wealthiest man in all the eastern part of the country. In verse 5, and when it's so in the days of their feasting, and keep in mind in verse 4, he's got 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with him. Somehow Job got 10 brothers and sisters to like each other. Dedication. Not just that, they ate every day. Brother number 1, Sunday. Brother number 2, Monday. Brother number 3, Tuesday. And vice versa all the way down the line. And so they went and ate with each other. And hey, sis, you'll come over too. And so they had a big feast. Notice they feasted daily. And notice if you would in verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting had gone about. So we don't know how often they did this, but boy, they got together and they had feast days and just had a big time. And he said that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning. So here's a father. Here's his dedication. It's not just determination, it's dedication. His heart's in it. He rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. He offered an offering to the Lord and said, Lord, protect my children. And for Job, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. He was constantly concerned about the heart of his children. Notice, he says in verse 5, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Not they just have a filthy mouth. They didn't have a filthy mouth. He thought they might just have a bad morning or something and feel something in their heart. Anybody here ever done something in your heart you would never say publicly? Job was concerned about that. He was concerned about it every day. He was dedicated to his children. Now, listen. Doesn't matter where your children are today. Where are you? Because the hope for your children, no matter where they are, is they see somebody that's definite about their salvation, that is determined in their spiritual direction, and that's dedicated to the heart of the family. They've got to see that from somebody. Well, there's no one to help turn them around. The prodigal son came back. Why? He said, in my father's house, my father treats the hired hands better than I'm treated. I'll go back and just say, Dad, let me be a hired hand. He knew his dad. His dad was dedicated to his family. He knew his dad. He just didn't know him like he thought he did. His dad said, oh, you're back. Oh, my goodness. Kill the fatted calf. Threw in a party. I didn't expect this, Dad. I expected you to hate me. No, son. You see, a dedicated heart causes a father to do things far down the road that we would possibly do if we were just determined. Now, it causes a husband to treat his wife far better than she could ever deserve because he's dedicated. His heart's in it. And Job was concerned about the heart of his kids. Most people are concerned their kids don't embarrass them. I'm concerned that Mike and Michaela, Malachi and Jeremy's hearts, Mandy, are in the right place with her. So I pray about it every day. Every day, those 5 names are lifted up. Every day. And many of you in this room. Lord, would you bless so-and-so? Would you save so-and-so? Lord, would you bless so-and-so? Would you save so-and-so's brother or sister or aunt or uncle? I pray for a long list of people every day. You want to know why? Number 1, I want to be determined. But number 2, my heart's in it. I want your families to be saved. I want you to have a happy home. I want you to be have the blessing of God in your home. And it's not too late for one person in this room. Unless you give up. Father's prayer. Dear God, my little boy, 3, has said his nightly prayer to thee. Before his eyes were closed in sleep, he asked thou his soul would keep. Now, he's taught his son that he's got a soul and that God watches over it. And I, still kneeling at his bed, my hand upon his head, do ask with deep humility that thou, dear Lord, remember me. Make me, kind Lord, a worthy dad, that I may lead this little lad in pathways e'er fair and bright, that I may keep his steps aright. Eli didn't do that. God said, you didn't restrain your sons, and I hold you responsible. You see, we don't tell our kids what to do. But when we're dedicated and determined in our direction and our love for our families, it oozes out in our children. They don't want to go a different direction. They say, I want that. We're missing the dedication. We're missing the heart for children, for our wives, for our husbands. Are you dedicated to your family, to your husband, your wife, your parents? Young people, are you dedicated to your parents? You pray for them? Do you want them to be proud of you? Are you dedicated to your Heavenly Father? Oh God, his trust must never be destroyed or even marred by me. So for the simplest things, for the simple things, he prayed with childish voice, so unafraid. You know why? He learned from his father that his Heavenly Father could be talked to. You could ask anything and say anything. The older we get, our faith begins to wane. We begin to look at the world just like Peter walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. But when he took his eyes off and saw the wind and the sea, he saw the troubles of life. It began to sink. Don't look at the troubles of life. Be dedicated to the King of Kings. Be dedicated to your family. I, trembling, ask the same thing from thee. Dear Lord, kind Lord, remember me as I serve thee. Today, it's not too late for anybody in this room to be definite about your salvation and your families, to be determined about your direction. I'm going to go to church. I want to be there every time the doors are open. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. You see, your children can see your determination, but they can feel your dedication. They're both required. Many a man has been determined, but not dedicated. And some men have been dedicated. I love my kid, but not determined. They don't do the same things all the time. They're not faithful. Today, are you dedicated? Do your children see God is real to you? The thrill to me is Cornelius has everybody there. Peter walks in, and when Peter walks in, he says this. Peter says to him, he says, you know, he said, I just want you to understand, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And the Spirit fell upon them and the whole family was saved. Definite I want them saved. Determined, I want them to hear the gospel. Dedicated, I love them. Let's serve together. And God fell. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Fathers, today, God is looking for us. Mothers, today, God is looking for us. We're going to have a word of prayer and just stand to sing. Page 319, Just As I Am. Folks, maybe you, I hate it that people are not comfortable coming to this altar, but it's okay. It's big enough to where some people could come and pray. Maybe there's a burden you have for a loved one, a brother, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife. Come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to be determined, but I also want to be dedicated. I want to be definite that everybody's saved. I want to know it. I know I'm saved. And maybe you heard that and said, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I grew up in church and wasn't saved till I was 14. Maybe you need to know Christ as Savior. Come, I'll help you. I want you to get it settled. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Father, we need some young people, some adults that we can learn from Cornelius and Job and Joshua. Now speak to hearts this morning. We need you, dear Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.